I've tried every miracle cream out there, and most of them end up in my bathroom graveyard. You know, that shelf of broken promises. But KPS Essentials actually works and keeps working. My skin feels smoother, hydrated, and alive again. Not fake, just healthy. Whatever this Dermanew technology is, my skin's clearly into it. It's like skincare with a PhD. They're clean, small batch, and trusted by doctors and five-star spas, and now by me. Go to kpsessentials.com and take the skin quiz. It'll match your skin to exactly what it needs. Because healthy, happy skin shouldn't be a miracle.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hello and welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team behind Have I Got News For You, where we take you through our picks of the news this week when the TV show can't.
We'll be looking at both the serious and not so serious news items and trying to convince each other of which story we think would have been perfect for the show if it was on air.
Which it isn't. But let's introduce ourselves anyway. I'm Emerald Paston. I write on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Jack Harris, a sometimes producer of the show.
I'm Mike Raymond, sometimes series producer of the show.
And I'm Queenie Miller, the picture researcher for the show, which is obviously essential for a podcast.
Absolutely key.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hi. Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah.
Queenie, where have the sunglasses gone?
Oh, I started this record by wearing some sunglasses that I found in the edit suite that I'm currently occupying.
You look like a rock star.
Thank you. I look like I just had eye surgery. So I've declined to wear them for this record.
You already do kind of look like an amalgamation of a lot of like 80s rock stars.
80s rock star. I didn't know where that was going.
No, I mean, like
I'm happy with that.
Sort of like a cross between Debbie Harry and someone from Aerosmith.
Yes. I couldn't agree more, actually.
And I can't make that more of a compliment. This is all great stuff for an audio podcast.
Yeah.
We should address the elephant that's missing from the room today.
Wow, you call Jack an elephant.
Elephants aren't that tall.
The giraffe that's missing from the room today.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we will still get to hear Jack's dulcet tones.
Do we have to?
Yeah. He sent us some voice notes to keep us updated with how everything's going on in New York. Shall we have a listen?
If we must.
If it's not just him in a shop moaning about the price of things, then I'm not interested.
Hi team, it's Jack. Just sending a voice note from New York. Very sorry to be missing the podcast this week, but we've got our first record of Have I Got News For You US happening on Friday. So we're very, very busy. So unfortunately, I can't come and speak to you about daft news stories. But I thought I'd send you some updates.
In true Ignify style, we should replace him with a tub of lard.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? What's the story behind the tub of lard?
Back in the day, they booked, this is way before my time, they booked a guest on the show. I want to say Lord Hattersley. I think he cancelled a couple of times. So rather than book a replacement, I think possibly this time it was too late. They just said, joining Paul this week, a tub of lard. And it came like this infamous thing. I remember it at the time and it being a big deal. And then Nicky Morgan, Conservative MP, who was in the cabinet at the time, she did a similar thing and didn't turn up. I was there. They replaced her with a handbag. I think cut a hole under the desk to pull like Mary Poppins style, could pull stuff through.
So fun.
One of the things that was like, oh, that's a really good idea. And it being an absolute nightmare today. It was relevant. There was a story in the papers to do with designer handbags. It wasn't just because she was a woman, in case anyone was wondering.
What would we replace Jack with on this show?
Ooh.
A golf bag.
A golf bag?
I thought I was just thinking something tall and long.
And that was the tallest, longest thing you could think of.
Yeah, I have very limited imagination.
You know, one of those things that are outside used car dealerships where the air blows through and it's...
I had that thought. Inflatable tube guy.
The inflatable tube man that kind of flops around.
Yeah. You guys have much better imaginations than me.
What have I been up to in New York? Well, it's a big weekend this weekend, big for American football. You had the NFL start and college football's on at the same time. So you have NFL on the Sunday, college football on the Saturday. The main take home is that I've really struggled with stopping myself from correcting people's pronunciation of Notre Dame. So there's a challenge for you, Mike, with your fabulous French accents that you've previously demonstrated, to see how do you actually properly say that. And what's the best way to telling people that they're saying it completely wrong and have been for the entire existence of that particular university.
Well, of course, when you go to France and you want to find Notre Dame.
Very good.
I think all you do is you go, Ouai la big cathedral.
Is that what you say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if they don't get it first time, you just say it louder. Generally, that'll work.
So we'll come back to Jack for his US updates later in the show.
And the producer's going to put the EastEnders drums in. And then we'll find out next week.
The producers did also tell us that we're allowed to laugh during these.
And I said that wouldn't be a problem.
In the meantime, why don't we get on to what's been happening in the UK?
Yes, please. What has been happening?
Well, I guess a good round one topic for this week would be the fact that this afternoon MPs voted in favour of removing the winter fuel allowance.
They're cutting it from an estimated 11 million people who are eligible to 1.5 million pensioners, so just the most needy. Although a lot of people are pointing out that it's quite a harsh cut for people with not a lot of money.
Let's freeze the pensioners. I've always said this. I'm thrilled.
It's Queenie's dream.
Yeah. Finally, a political party you can get behind, Queenie. Do you know what? I was going to say, it's creating some weird bedfellows, this whole thing. Now, it's really mixed up at the moment because I think no one really knows how to play it. Because I saw a headline in the Telegraph about it today and it just said, Jeremy Corbyn is right.
From the Telegraph.
Jeremy Corbyn is right because he's obviously against it. And I just couldn't ever imagine a world in which the Telegraph and Jeremy Corbyn would be siding against the government. The front page of the Daily Mail pointed out that when the Conservative government suggested means testing old people for their fuel allowance in 2017, Labour claimed it would lead to 4,000 excess pensioner deaths a year. And that was when Keir Starmer was in the shadow cabinet.
So, how the turntables.
Yeah, interesting now that he's suddenly going, no, it won't.
But at the same time, the Tories have had a lot of incidences where they've not been especially nice to pensioners.
Yeah.
Boris Johnson said that COVID was nature's way of dealing with them.
It's good that they're all on the same side.
Yeah, right? They all hate pensioners.
I think genuinely we're an ageing country and no one wants to admit that they don't have a clue how to deal with it.
And we've decided on kill them.
And pretend we're not.
Wes Streeting said he's not happy about having to say to some of his constituents, I'm sorry that I'm going into work this week to vote for something that will take money away from you. And when I read that, I just thought that is Queenie's dream. Queenie would love to go to work to take money away from people.
Yeah.
Shall I become a politician? It sounds like you might need to be at this point.
But it's funny he said that, Wes Streeting. I thought that was so weird because I'm like, oh, if only you were in a position of power to, oh wait, you know, you're in the cabinet, you're the health minister, you're literally one of the like top 10 most powerful people in politics right now.
The health minister, people are gonna like freeze. That might be a public health crisis.
You seen what this guy's doing? I can't believe it. So it's a bit it's really weird to have that at the start of like a new government, because normally everyone's really united and there's a real sort of mad energy to it all. You know, they didn't want to have a vote. Labour actually were going to use parliamentary skullduggery to get it through without a vote.
Classic.
Again, doing those things that they criticised the Conservative government for the last few years. But it was actually the Tories who used parliamentary procedure against them to make them take it to a vote.
This is mental. I'm really struggling to comprehend it.
So they had the vote on the winter fuel allowance. The government won by, I think, about 130 votes, 53 Labour MPs. Well, only a handful actually voted against them.
And the others abstaining?
I liked a quote from Martin Lewis about Labour MPs that rebelled without fully doing it. He said they have their buttocks clenched about supporting this policy, which I just thought was a very
I think a lot of old people always have their buttocks clenched, don't they?
The five independents, who I love keeping an eye on at the moment because they're turning into my Avengers, they backed the Tories in voting against the cut of the winter fuel allowance.
Yeah, so it's a seven. I think five voted against and two weren't in Parliament. And it's a bit of a sinister thing because obviously...
Because they were suspended.
They were suspended, so had the whip removed. So that was on the vote on child benefits cap, which was last month, and they voted against it. And so Keir Starmer took the whip away, which everyone said was a bit harsh. So then this time around, the government, they refused to say whether there was a three-line party whip on the vote or what they'd do. So it's really sinister.
That's shady.
It really shady. They went, hey guys, you vote how you want, but you know what happened to those guys. So that's why no one...
It's really putting a horse's head in their bed.
Yeah.
That made Keir Starmer the godfather.
No, I can't. That's too complimentary.
He does sound like, you know, Marlon Brando had all the tissue paper in his mouth. He does sort of sometimes sound like he's got tissue paper in his mouth when he talks, Keir Starmer. Oh,
my God. Mike, some condolences needed for you. Oh. Mel Stride. Oh, your man.
Oh, Mel Stride.
What shocking news. None of us expected it as well.
I know. Mel's been put out of his stride.
So, yes, Mel Stride is out of the Tory leadership race after voting from the Conservatives took place today.
He hasn't made it to judges' houses. Do you know what they were calling it, though? And this is what really upsets me. Do you know what they were calling his unexpected surge?
I do, but I'll let you say it.
No idea.
Momentum.
Oh, my God.
You know a team of, like, four people were employed to go in a room and figure that out.
At least four.
But they should have done something with Stride. Stride is actually quite a cool surname.
Yeah.
Striding to victory.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking more of a pun, like Stride or Die.
Ooh.
I'm very impressed by that.
Stride and Tested.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could start an STI clinic.
Stride and Tested.
But every, like, new thing that I read about him makes me a bit more sad.
About... life.
About him. Like, he was apparently the only one of the six to not officially launch his campaign before the first round of voting. And he said he'd only do it if he made it through to the later rounds. So he wasn't expecting it.
He's a pragmatist.
I, for one, felt like his campaign was officially launched because I saw it everywhere. Did you see his really funny marketing? They extended the horizontal bit of the L kind of too far because they were like, that's snazzy. That's neat.
So it was, oh, it was sort of like
Mel.
Queen, this is why you're an amazing picture researcher, because you spot these things.
So who's left in the race?
Who came top? Oh, it was Robert Jenrick.
Then Badenoch.
And then Cleverly and Tugendhat were tied.
On 21, yeah.
Do you know what James Cleverly is banking on to get
Barclays, him? Barclays, probably.
His likability factor.
Oh.
Oh, God.
So,
oh, poor man.
Oh, dear.
So I think he's going
That's
out.
A delusional person right there.
I'm scooping my eggs out of my Mel Stride basket.
And you're chucking them in the Cleverly
I'm
one.
I'm putting them in the Cleverly one purely because obviously I'm apolitical, but purely because he plays Warhammer.
Oh, God, we're not bringing this up again.
Nope, no, we're done.
I'm going to move on really quickly.
I just want to see the yellow cards come out. Bob Blackman, the chairman of the 1922 committee, said there'd be yellow cards if people said mean things about each other.
They haven't yet. They're doing really nice things. I saw on social media that as soon as they announced results, to the point where it's like, they must have known in advance because they had it ready. Mm. James Cleverly and Tom Tugendhat both put up pictures of them with Mel Stride saying what a great guy he was. Oh. And it was like he died.
This makes me sad.
It was like, hit people we've lost this year.
Oh, God.
The story that's going under the radar because of all the excitement in Westminster. Have you seen who's retiring from Parliament? It's called Terry Wiggins. Do you know what he does?
Is he a landlord in one of their many pubs?
Do you know, like, he's in hospitality. He's the head chef.
Does he...
Sorry. You were going to guess.
I was just going to say, does he pick up Larry the Cat's shit? But that's not...
It's like that Blackadder and then turns it into truffles. Yeah. So, yeah, this is Terry Wiggins. He's a chef who leads the catering team at Westminster's Portcullis House. He's retiring this month after 50 years in the job, serving 13 prime ministers and plenty of gammon.
And he didn't poison one of them. Good on him. That takes a lot of courage.
He had a couple of things to say about a couple of the prime ministers.
Oh, great.
A lovely lady.
Oh, no.
Thatcher.
I think this is all based on how they picked up their food, though. I think nothing more than that. Who did he say was a grab-and-go man?
Oh, Sunak.
You're going to say that?
Sunak.
I think Sunak's a sit and chat for a bit too long.
What? Overstay no. He's too busy. He's a tech guy. He's like uber productive.
Blair.
No, it's Keir Starmer.
That feels like a dig to me. That feels like a slight.
It does. And he said John Major didn't even used to come down to the canteen. He'd send someone to pick up his favourite curry.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think he's retired because he's reading the room and he doesn't want any chance of having to serve room temperature Coke Zeros in Badenoch one day?
Yeah. He's seen the future. He's seen what's coming in and he doesn't want to be any part of it.
You would have thought he'd do that sooner.
More scintillating US updates from Jack.
So yeah, big week for the debate. Quite exciting. It's happening tonight, which is good. I think I'm watching it with some colleagues and that'll be good fun to see their faces as the car crash happens live on television. That's quite fun as an outsider. There's a lot of talk about muted mics. Interestingly, Biden's camp pushed for muted mics and they got them And now Kamala Harris's team want the opposite because they think that Trump's going to basically do himself over if he was interrupting Kamala Harris. So that's kind of interesting that Biden's sort of screwed that up for Kamala. So he's still there making it difficult for her.
Wow, muted mics.
I wish we could have muted mics.
Oh, thing.
Queenie.
That's really good.
Thank you.
I think they should gamify it so you can only speak when your mic light comes on, but you never know when it's going to happen. So it's just going to be completely random.
Maybe the audience control it. So
ooh.
You could come in the mid-sentence.
I think if that happened, both mics would just be off the whole time.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Also, Trump at the weekend, he sort of said that he's really been laying out the fact that he's on sort of like enemy turf. And he said there shouldn't be any boxes or artificial lifts, which he said is the equivalent of cheating because he doesn't want him to look small. He wants to look quite big. So, yeah, he's really pushing for that. But I think he's going to be fine. You know, he was fine against Ron DeSantis and he's a fan of a Cuban heel. If you've got a spare 4 minutes, Google Ron DeSantis shoes. And you'll get lost in that. I think we covered that on Have a Good News For You before once. But some absolutely wild pictures of Ron DeSantis in his little heels and booties.
That was one of my favourite things to research, actually.
Really?
Some really good just Twitter diagrams of the conspiracy of where people think that it is. And then just some excellent side profile footage from me, if I do say so myself,
yeah.
Wow. Of just how substantial that heel is. It's incredible.
I'm also I'm incredibly hot because I've been told to do this under a duvet. Thanks for that, producers. I think you're sort of just pulling my leg, really, because I don't think this is going to sound much better than if I was just sitting not under a duvet. I don't think this bit should get in. I mean, it's too long. So feel free to cut it down and try not to make me look, well, very hard to make me not sound like an idiot. Okay, bye.
First, I'll say that that's a top tier prank, guys.
Yeah. I think that's the only bit we should leave in.
Yeah, just that's the only update.
Yeah, we hear from Jack. Hi, guys, I'm under a duvet. Bye.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I've tried every miracle cream out there, and most of them end up in my bathroom graveyard. You know, that shelf of broken promises. But KPS Essentials actually works and keeps working. My skin feels smoother, hydrated, and alive again. Not fake, just healthy. Whatever this Dermanu technology is, my skin's clearly into it. It's like skincare with a PhD. They're clean, small batch, and trusted by doctors and five-star spas, and now by me. Go to kpsessentials.com and take the skin quiz. It'll match your skin to exactly what it needs. Because healthy, happy skin shouldn't be a miracle.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. We're now heading into round two, where we each bring a news item from the past week that we think would be perfect for round two of the TV show. So let's start with Mike. What have you got for us this week?
Oh, the randomizer of round twos. I like that. Basically, I've sort of got three stories. So sort of interesting business branding faux pas. So ooh, the story I'd like to cover, it's a running app, Strava. Are you familiar with it? It's a very popular app.
Yeah.
No.
People go on it and they like run and make different shapes, don't they?
Yeah.
That's one thing.
That's confused me even more, but please continue.
That is a part of it, but that's not the point of it. But yeah, I like that's where Emerald went with it.
It's for drawing, right? But with your shapes.
No, it's a running app. So yeah, you log in and you take your phone and it tracks your run and it shows where you've run. And then you have like a profile and other people can, obviously they don't want to call it likes, they call it kudos. so other people can give you what a great reaction. Yeah, other people can give you kudos. But what's emerged this week is that people have been offering a service where they take someone's phone and go on the run for them.
No.
And they're charging for this service. There's a guy who does it and he calls it muling, or being a mule. So it's like a Strava mule for someone, which is...
What have we come to? This feels dystopian.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the idea is that you're too lazy to do the run, so someone does it for you, but you get just the kudos.
Well, he says there's different reasons why people employ him to do this. Online likes is one, just for the kudos.
Okay.
What other benefits could there possibly be?
Well, other ones, he said, there's like bragging rights in the pub.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what pub that is, but I don't want to go to it. The mule, who spoke to the Telegraph, he said for one of his clients, he's training for a marathon. And he's deliberately clocking slow times so that when the client eventually gets around to running his marathon, he'll get a much better time and people will be really impressed.
This is quite cheeky.
But wait. In order for that client to get the better time in that marathon, that client needs to train. So they might as well just do some slow running anyway.
Yeah. There's some huge holes in this. Oh, surely it's easier just to do the running if you're going to actually have to do the marathon. What extra service does he offer?
He picks up your delivery at the same time and then runs your phone back with your food.
I was going to say, it would just be delivery.
But knowing that they've worked a bit harder for it.
That's just making the guy getting your delivery do an extra lap for his own health.
No, for an extra fee, he says he will text his clients' wives or husbands mid-run, showing them a picture of the park and a text saying, home soon, honey.
Oh, so you can use it to cheat, basically.
You can use it to cheat, or you can use it, he says, to go to the pub. He's obsessed with the pub.
This is mental. Is my take.
How much do you think he's charging the mule?
Is it per kilometre? Is it
per mile?
I hope it's a really high price.
$50.
It's 40p per mile.
That's nothing.
So he said on a recent run he ran for a client, he clocked up an impressive £16.
No, this guy, he was doing everything right in terms of entrepreneurship until he charged himself.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
What else is a bad waste of money? Have we found out this week?
It's quite a good segue.
Yeah.
I mean, always X, Twitter.
Pensioners.
We did find that out.
No, it involves Harrods. They started selling peaches grown near the Fukushima power plant in Japan.
Wow.
So these are really specific peaches. And they've actually been given Guinness World Record status, which is what anyone wants from their food. And they're selling them three sort of nuclear peaches for £80.
I'm guessing they've not got any radiation because you wouldn't be able to sell them.
I don't know. How do we... that's the thing.
Your story's falling apart as you're saying it. Just like the point of it.
Do you trust Harrods?
I've never trusted Harrods with anything.
So do you know how you measure how sweet a peach is?
You eat it.
That is one way. Or you can use the Brix scale. That's a BRIX. So that measures how sweet a peach is. I don't know if it's just for
peach. Just a peach.
Just peaches.
Needed its own scale.
It's not directly related to peaches. It is, in fact, a sweetness scale. And the average peach is 11 to 15 degrees brick. I feel like, again, reading that, I feel like I'm having a stroke.
You're making it up.
No. This is all solid fact. And the scale, so just, you know, the scale goes up to 40.
Okay.
They're hitting 32 degrees bricks. Oh.
Guys. Wow. Hold the phone. Yeah. It's crazy.
That is sweet.
So the Telegraph sent down journalist Iona Cleave to check it out. Was she impressed?
Well, she owns a Cleave, so presumably not. I don't know what a Cleave is.
I don't know what a Cleave is. She said, no, frankly, they were underwhelming.
Huh.
She said, I suffered no imminent death, no noticeable taste of radiation.
Great.
That's what you want in your peaches.
I feel like all your stories so far, Mike, have a common theme of just like bewilderment, like what is going on?
Yeah. What is wrong with the world?
So what's the third one, dare I ask?
The third one is, have you seen what companies are doing to try and get young people more interested in their businesses? Oh,
yes, I have actually.
Yes, I have.
I feel like this started quite a few months ago and it's only just picked up as a thing, but I'll let you explain.
Well, I'll tell it so it was and then maybe you can explain it because I don't really understand. So companies are employing Gen Z social media experts to write scripts for them and then they're filming videos where an older person walks around a stately home, or my example is the Beamish Museum, which is like a living history museum. And they've got this guy in a top hat, this old guy, lovely old man, and he walks around and says things about it, but using Gen Z terms.
Do you want to do an example of the Gen Z terms?
What are these terms, Mike? Can you explain them?
The old hall is always serving. I don't know what always serving means. It means it's good.
Yeah, I think you can figure it out, maybe.
The vibe here is immaculate. And he's sat in the canteen.
Yeah.
There's a tram and he says the tram slaps.
Yeah.
I would package the whole thing as bad business ideas. Selling nuclear pictures from Fukushima. Mm-hmm. Offering a service where you run for people. Because mm-hmm. the thing about this other thing with Gen Z is Gen Z people don't have any money. So why are you trying to get their business?
We spend what we have, which is not very much, but...
That's what I mean. Like, why?
We'll damn spend it.
Yeah.
And they're the spenders of the future. So if they go to Beamish when they're 16 and enjoy it, they're going to keep going there.
So they're going, oh, hopefully in 20 years, a 16-year-old will come to the Beamish Museum because we said the tractor was lit.
They've got to do something.
The Beamish Museum is excellent. I don't think it needs to stoop to this.
Have you been there, Mike?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It slays.
Wow, that was the most chaotic round two bunch of suggestions we've had, Mike. So thank you for that. Queenie, what is your round two story?
So essentially, there was an excerpt of Diane Abbott's new autobiography in The Guardian, where she talks very candidly about her kind of rise to being an MP and her experiences as a black female MP. And the bit that I'm choosing to talk about is her relationship with Jeremy Corbyn. Because people didn't know, they dated in the 1970s.
Oh, they banged.
Don't say that. That's like talking about mum and dad. Don't say that. So this is Diane Abbott speaking. Once after I lamented our lack of social activity as a couple, he, Jeremy, pondered it for a few days and told me we were going out. Feeling excited, I dressed up nicely and we bundled into the car. I had no idea where we were going. Perhaps a nice wine bar? It turned out Jeremy's idea of a social outing was to drive me to Highgate Cemetery and proudly show me the tomb of Karl Marx.
No. It feels like a parody.
He practices what he preaches.
Do you know what? That just sums up why he was such a terrible Labour leader. Because it just is his complete lack of ability to read a room.
He's just a normal guy. He's just a mansplainy guy. He's gonna not listen to his girlfriend and take her to a historical site that he can talk about at length. That makes him very normal.
You could swap out girlfriend for electorate, and it's exactly the same thing. He showed everyone Marxism, and everyone went, do you know what? I think we're going to go see other people. It's not you. It's not you, Jeremy. It's not you. It's just us collectively as a country don't want any of this.
Have you ever been to Karl Marx, Tim?
I have, actually.
No.
It wasn't on a date. I'll tell you that.
The next bit, when they were on holiday. I was looking forward to some delicious cuisine. I was horrified when Jeremy unpacked his motorbike saddlebags to reveal a weak supply of instant macaroni and other processed foods. After much discussion back and forth, I was able to argue for at least one restaurant lunch.
Wow, she's just desperate for a wine bar, a restaurant.
She wants to be wined and dined. This is Mr. Socialism. This is Jeremy Corbyn.
Oh my God.
Our affair continued for a short while longer, conducted mainly in between attending meetings before gradually collapsing. It was not an acrimonious split. Jeremy does not do acrimony. Realistically, ours was not a match made in heaven. We were too different. I had a range of interests and enjoyed reading and the theatre, but Jeremy was 99% absorbed in party politics. The only thing I remember him spending time on was growing vegetables in his back garden.
It sounds like he was behaving like a granddad, but at like in his 20s.
Yeah, with little sweaters.
Yeah. You know how there are sometimes stories where like some women all realise they're dating the same person on Tinder or someone's a serial ghoster? I just think if nowadays, if Jeremy Corbyn was on the dating apps, there would be a story that comes out about this guy. He's taken all his girlfriends to see the tomb of Karl Marx. He whips out his instant,
I don't think he'd whip,
instant macaroni. He pulls, he's not got the whip, has he?
I think he'd be one of those red flag guys on Reddit.
Oh, yeah. Communism.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you for that story, Queenie.
Emerald, what's your story?
My story this week, it's about an article that I saw in the Times, and a research app called TeacherTap has made a list of the most bizarre excuses that kids have used for being late to school. So these teachers have written down their most memorable excuses that they've received, and they're quite wild. This might ring a bell for us all, but seagulls were mentioned by 18 different respondents as a reason that the children gave for not making it into school on time.
Did they only poll people living in seaside towns?
Right, were they just in Brighton?
I think it's funnier the closer inland you get.
But as we learned in an earlier episode, the way to avoid that is to stand and point and stare at them. Yes. Remember we learned that?
Who could forget?
Yeah, I remember. You taught us that.
Okay, another thing mentioned four times was stopping at the food chain Greg's.
Yes.
That was going to be my next guess.
Oh, was it now?
Morning steak bake.
Yes, please. That was mentioned four times as a reason why a kid was late.
On the way to school.
Yeah, and also why would... That's not really an excuse.
This seems reasonable to me. I don't know.
It's a pretty bad excuse.
It's a bad excuse. There were a lot of animals mentioned. Apparently, pupils on their way to school got distracted by squirrels, dead bats, cats, and looking at cows that weren't there, which I feel is very sixth sense.
Has that kid seen a psychiatrist?
Did they go past like a slaughterhouse? Queenie, I feel like maybe this is one of your old teachers. Mm. A secondary school teacher said that one pupil was late for school after being locked in a cemetery.
That was me. Yeah, I was polled for this. I didn't want to reveal it until now.
One teenager said they were late because they were stuck on top of a wardrobe, but that turned out to be a genuine excuse because it was a drama pupil and they were trapped while preparing a prop after someone removed the ladder, which just makes me think they go to school on chuckle vision or something.
A lot of these feel very made up.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think this is the sort of story that feels too cynical or like clearly just made up as clickbait to feature on the show?
No, I think it's really fun. I think there's another story it's just reminded me of. The Prime Minister of Australia said he wants to ban kids using social media.
Right.
And people have then pointed out that there's quite a lot of clips online of him being made to look stupid and have suggested that might be why. Which is quite funny.
Is this Anthony Albanese?
Yeah. No, I think we would cover it. I think you could probably put it together with that. I think they'd enjoy calling bullshit on a lot of them.
Yes.
These kids have got incredible active imaginations.
Yeah, and also I think a lot of them aren't good enough excuses. Like, I feel like an excuse should be, like, inescapably you couldn't attend, whereas some of them are just like, oh, I stared at a cow for a bit.
I would be distracted by a dead bat. I feel like everyone would. If you saw a dead bat on your way to school, you're not going to look at it for a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Did you two use any good excuses when you were at school?
I used to get in trouble, but I had a very good deal with my sister to intercept the mail when a letter is coming from school and we try and get to it before my mum and dad.
Wow.
Sorry, mum and dad.
I really upsettingly was always very early for school because I did a lot of extracurricular sports. And so I'd never have an excuse to be late. And that's really embarrassing to admit on a public platform, but it's the truth.
The only time I did get caught out was at university. My mum came to visit me and we were walking around the city centre. And I said, oh, here's where we go out clubbing. And here's a student union where we get our cheap drinks. And I think I was like, here's the kebab shop that does a great kebab deal if you've got a student. And my mum, we were walking down around, my mum said, what's that big building there? And I, like, this big, impressive building looming. And I said, oh, I don't know. Let's go find out. We walked up and it was the university library.
Oh, no.
It was like 6 months into being there. That's quite awkward.
Okay, it's time to pick a winner. Mike, what story do you think should win this week?
I liked them all. I think that Jeremy Corbyn would probably be a little drop on the end of round one. I'm going to vote for you, Emerald.
Thanks.
For school excuses. I think it feels like a classic round two. There's plenty of quotes in there and there's a smattering of politics with the Australian stuff. So it feels like a good, solid round two for the show.
Queenie, what are you going for?
I'm going to have to agree. Emerald's story is amazing. I really like it. I'd really like to hear what the panellists' excuses would be if there were any. And I think there's a lot to cover.
Thank you. I'm going to go for Jack's story about him correcting people pronouncing Notre Dame in France. No, not really. I love both of yours. I thought the Corbyn and Diane Abbott one would be great. But yeah, like you said, maybe it's too big and it should go in round one.
Congratulations, Emerald. You'll be in the host chair again next week.
And I feel safer for it.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to In the News this week.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us there using the hashtag HignifiPod or emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. And we'll see you here for next week's episode. Bye.
Bye.
That was a weak attempt at Jax. Bye.
Nah, that's my own vibe.
Goodbye.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast. Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Listen and subscribe to The Real Sex Education, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've tried every miracle cream out there, and most of them end up in my bathroom graveyard. You know, that shelf of broken promises. But KPS Essentials actually works and keeps working. My skin feels smoother, hydrated, and alive again. Not fake, just healthy. Whatever this Dermanew technology is, my skin's clearly into it. It's like skincare with a PhD. They're clean, small batch, and trusted by doctors and five-star spas, and now by me. Go to kpsessentials.com and take the skin quiz. It'll match your skin to exactly what it needs. Because healthy, happy skin shouldn't be a miracle.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.